NAX PQ listening.
Any PCT on statewide one. Any PCT out.
WAEAT on statewide one.
Last station, this is KEATVV Mobile on statewide one.
Yep. Any catch your call sign in the mobile. This is WAEAT Shelby Township.
All right, WAEAT, this is KE8. TVB, Kilo Echo 8, Papa, Bravo, Bravo. I'm mobile up here in Bay County.
Roger, on the Bay County. Yeah, I got you. I looked at my screen here. I wasn't looking at the screen the first time, but I see your call sign. Yeah, sounding good. I don't know what repeater you'd be on, but Frankenmuth maybe? I don't know.
I'm actually coming in through the Bay City repeater. It's got a pretty excellent footprint, and I'm traveling north up to Deer Camp right now. So in about 15 or 20 minutes, my radio will switch over to the Pinconning repeater, and that repeater also has an excellent footprint. I can generally get into the system with my mobile pretty reliably all the way up into West Branch. So a pretty good coverage up here in this area. This whole system has pretty good coverage, it seems.
Very good. Yeah, I did not realize there was, I guess I did realize there was one in Pinconning. I talked to a guy the other day. How to program those in my radio. I'm on the Mount Clemens machine, and I thought there was one in Holly. I haven't checked the repeater list lately, but I have a place up in St. Helens, so not that far from West Branch.
Okay, yeah, just a little bit farther north of there. I'm up in Hale up there, so in between West Branch and Tawas, but I'll swing by through the Hope Mike area once in a while, which is, I think, near that Hope Mike, or the St. Helens area. I can't remember if they've got any MI5 repeaters that would cover St. Helens. I know they've got one up in Hackleburg, but I don't know if they've got one in Grayling. But maybe in the future they'll add one, I don't know. I hope they add one in West Branch or Tawas or somewhere in that area. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of ham repeaters and GMRS repeaters up there. I'd like to use this radio a little bit more than just at home. But they got a big tower in Mayo. Well, 1,500 feet up. So, in Rose City. Rose City and Miles got some big towers. You know, UHF, VHF stuff. But not sure if it's DMR.
You know what? You're right. There is that Mayo tower. And there is a repeater for the system on that tower. One of my buddies, Cameron, and then KOP, I think he's on... He helps put this stuff all together. He's a tower climber, and that's kind of where he hangs around, and I think he got that up there within a year or two ago. So there's some pretty good coverage on the system. I enjoy it, but I wasn't aware of any GMRS repeaters up there. I'd like to get those programmed in my radio sometime.
Yeah, this one in St. Helens on 625, but you'd never know if you're getting into it because there's no squelch tail on it. And there's one in Roscommon, which is, I believe, a 675. And there's one in Houghton Lake. But these are pretty small repeaters. Coverage isn't the greatest. But then when you get out by Traverse City, there's some really big. Mayville's got a powerhouse repeater. Bay City, Saginaw, Flint. I mean, I know who Cameron is. I know those guys up there. But, they're quite tied together here. The GMR, you could pretty much go all the way up there. I think around Pinconning, or not Pinconning, about exit 190 to lose the Saginaw GMRS.
Yeah, I'd like it if there's a GMRS repeater that's linked into the MI-8 Bay City, but it's just got a temporary tower, I think, right now. So the range isn't that good. In fact, I can get farther north on the Saginaw repeater than the Bay City one currently, but I think they have plans to elevate that. And once they do, I'm hoping that'll really boost the range of that system as well. But I'll be honest, I got my GMRS license, and I thought it was pretty neat at first, but I don't use it nearly as much. I really appreciate this MI-5 system, not having repeaters IDing all the time and static and squelch opening up and garble to this and garble that. There's a lot less Yahoos on ham, too. So GMRS for me, I use once in a while, but I haven't used it as much as when I first got it.
Yeah, I was not amateur radio for several years, and I got back out there, and I found out that there's GMRS repeaters in St. Helens, about 4 miles from my cottage, and then as I was getting back into ham radio, I got my GMRS license probably three, four years ago. But, there's a bunch of big GMRS repeaters, one in Detroit, one in Mount Clemens. Actually, I think it might be the same tower of the repeater I'm on right now. I think it's not the same tower. Could be wrong. But anyhow, Essexville. Where in the heck is Essexville, Michigan?
Essexville is right up in Bay City, pretty much. It's on the east side of the Saginaw River. Pretty much smack dab touching the west side of Bay City. And just east of the river there. So it's pretty small town. I don't know the population, but everyone that's from Essexville pretty much just says they're from Bay City. But it's all city, it's not a township or anything like that. It's not out in the country. You keep going east out towards the town, it turns into Hampton Township, and it gets a little bit more country eventually. But it's just a nice little small town on the side of Bay City.
Yep. Yeah, I got to do some programming then. Get more use out of this radio. There's also another one in Warren. in Warren, Michigan, which is just north of Detroit, another DMR machine. It's tied to, I think it's I don't know. Gosh, I forgot what talk group it was tied to, but we talk on that one once in a while. So I'm right in between. I'm about 10 miles from this machine and about 8 miles from the other machine.
I was just down in Detroit in August, but I didn't plan any of the repeaters. The only time I've been on any repeaters down in Detroit, I was picking my wife up from the airport, and I was talking on the VHF P25 down there, and it's linked to Bay City. So I was talking VHF P25 all the way up to Detroit to Bay City. That was nice. But so Mount Clemens, is that the north side of Detroit?
It's about 16 miles north of Detroit, Lake St. Clair, Metropolitan Beach, Lake St. Clair area. It's on the east side there. So it's not exactly due north of Detroit. It's off to the east. So if you follow Gratiot Avenue.
Okay, very well. I've been down to Lake St. Clair area a couple times. Cool stuff to do down there. I like to get out of Lake St. Clair once in a while. I get some musky fishing out there. And I'd like to return in the fall one of these years to do some diver duck hunting. Lake St. Clair gets a good migration of canvasback ducks, which are kind of up high on the waterfowl list of nice birds to get. So I'd like to go down there and chase some nice canvasback trout out in the water.
Yeah, if you're up in West Branch area, you must know the guys on the West Branch repeater up there, K-O-O-A-R repeater. And, if you are friends with any of those guys, my friend Tom, K-C-8-F-C-Q, he's from Shelby Township, but he has a place up in West Branch as well.
Yeah, very, very familiar with the K-8-O-A-R Ottawa Club up there. When I first got into ham radio, that's where I did the majority of my talking, was on that 9-4 machine up there. Now, I still try to make the coffee nets once in a while, Monday night talking it, if I remember to, I'm up there. that's a great group of guys. It's probably the best group I've met on ham radio, to be frank. And yeah, I do know Tom as well. I've been talking to Tom since I was just licensed, because he would come up there to his cottage in the summer. So I chatted up with him, whether it be about fat tire biking or GM or radio stuff. It's always interesting to talk with Tom. I haven't heard from him in a while recently, but I haven't been on the repeater quite as much recently up there anyway. I took the VHF out of my truck, and I just run a UHF truck in the radio. Nice small quarter-wave antenna on the cab, and just a small handheld control head. It's really sleek and compact stuff going on in here, so just didn't have room for a VHF radio anymore in here.
Yeah, I actually work right across the street where Tom does well. He's off on medical stuff right now, but I work right across from the tech center. I've known him for about 35 years. Met him on the CB, him and Chris. They work together at the tech center. And there's another guy out here. I forgot his first name, but he gets out on our All-Star. If you have All-Star, we have a pretty good All-Star hub group of guys, the Who Cares Radio Club. I want to look that up. You'll get a kick out of that. But anyhow, yeah, I've known Tom for many, many years, and I think he blames me for getting interested in ham radio. I think he blames me for that one.
I'll have to bring that up next time I talk to him. So, but with the All-Star stuff, I know Tom's pretty good on that, too. I don't quite exactly remember how that works. I know it's not like Echo Link where you can get onto it from your phone. You kind of got to have a node to get into. Is that how that works? You use your radio to talk to almost like a hotspot, kind of like DMR. Is that how that works?
Right. So you have a – usually it's like a Raspberry Pi. Now, the new Raspberry Pi 02W, they're only $15. So you use that for your radio. You load your your ham VoIP image on that. You connect that to either home internet or your hotspot in your car, your cell phone, and then you plug a RF dongle into that. Some of them are one piece, some of them are two piece, but basically it's a radio. So you talk into the radio analog, audio comes out analog, usually like a half a watt, 1 watt transmitter goes in and out analog. You talk to it to your HD, and then from there it goes, connects to the internet. So the big thing about All-Star is it's analog quality. The audio quality is way better than any digital mode. And you can connect to, there's all kinds of reflectors where you can connect to fusion reflectors, and DMR and P25. It just depends on, how elaborate you want, a person wants to get. But our hub supports all the digital stuff too, and our All-Star hub supports all the digital modes as well.
Yeah, that might be something I have to pick up this winter. It'd be kind of nice. I wouldn't mind that at all. I'll definitely look into that. So. Do you know if they make any kind of pre-built ones, or do you pretty much always, I know you've got to program them yourself, but do they make any kind of pre-built All-Star nodes?
OW, it's called the 02W, and that's plenty enough power, and they don't draw any current, they don't produce much heat, and they're cheap, they're like $15. They make a kit for about $80, includes the case and the antenna and everything you need. But you got to supply the Raspberry Pi Zero, which is $15, so about $85 total, and then you put it together, program it. And I would say that's probably one of the best ways to go right there.
Are you still on Statewide 1? This is KPA-TBB. I just looked down on my radio, and Statewide 2 is up. I'm not sure if you can hear me on Statewide 1 or not.
This is W8EAP. Yep, I'm still on Statewide 1. You may have bumped your switch or something. I don't even have Statewide 2 programmed in this radio. Kind of Fred and those guys up there usually use Statewide 2 for official business, so I kind of stay off Statewide 2. Hi, Fred, if you're listening.
Okay, very well. Yeah, you know, I've got my radio to set to scan statewide 1 through events 1 through 4 and a couple other channels. And it's set to stop on the last of the channel, last activity. So you might have finished keying up. There could have been someone talking on statewide 2 at the same time, and so it switched to statewide 2. Either that or I hit the button on top of the control, like you said. So that's the beauty of this, you know, this network too. And one reason why I kind of went with DMR over P25 in the long run, the ability to have two conversations going through the same system at one time is pretty nice. I really like that. I mean, having two channels across the state is kind of neat, let alone the net channels.
Roger. What I have for all the different digital modes, I have, it's called a DV thumb. I believe it is. It's a thumb drive. You plug it into a computer. It's got to be plugged into a computer. Then you plug a microphone, you know, into your computer. And then, you know, I can run Fusion, D-Star, NXDN. Not P2. I don't think it does P25, though. But they're about $100. And I can stick it in my pocket, bring it up north, plug it in the computer up there. I don't know if you're familiar with those. It's just, you know, you got to have it plugged into an Android. You can plug it into an Android phone if you have an OTG adapter, but it needs to be mainly plugged into a PC, and then you just plug a microphone into it, and then you can, it's basically a hotspot.
Okay, yeah, very well. There's a plethora of ways to use the digital radio, and that's kind of nice. I appreciate that about that side of stuff, and you can get into analog systems pretty good too, like you said. So, I've never used Fusion, D-Star, or NDXN. I've only done the P25 and the DMR and analog. So, one of these days I might try NDXN because Kenwood's got. I like the commercial radios. I've got Motorola's. I pretty much just try to stick to the commercial stuff. They're not always completely ham-friendly, but I like how robust they are and how amazing the receivers are. The quality of them is pretty nice, too. But Kenwood's got a radio that does analog, P25, and EMR. And you can do two digital modes and one in analog on the same radio with the right entitlements. And you can even do multiband with that. And Motorola, Harris, can't touch that yet. So if anything, I might get a Kenwood in the future, and I might try to get the NDXN entitlement and try that out. But I don't know anyone with that NDXN radio except for maybe Cameron. So I don't know if it'd be worth it.
Well, keep your eyes open there. In a few days, we have the Amazon Prime Days or whatever, some kind of Amazon Prime dealio. But I just bought a pair of Redivis RT85s, which are the same as the QRZ Explorer ones. They're really good, solid dual band HTs, and they're $30 for two, and then a $10 off coupon. So they ended up being $10 a piece, and they're really good radios. The receive and the front end of those, you wouldn't believe. We did some testing on them at one of the parks, and it completely blew away just about everything except for my buddy had a Motorola. It was the only radio that didn't get desensed, you know. Our test was we'd stand about 5 feet apart and talk to a repeater 20 miles away. And with those other radios, once you key up, it would desense the other guy's radio, so he would hear nothing. But that RT85, you can have two of them, you know, 5 feet apart and talk to a repeater without them desensing each other. That was impressive. But anyhow, two for $20, and it's who cares if you lose it or drop it or break it.
Yeah, no, radio's that cheap would get me to get off my Motorola high horse and pick a couple of them up, mainly especially if they can do GMRS, because I would like to sometime next spring I want to get a GMRS repeater up at my cabin. Just a very small footprint. I'm only looking to cover 1 to 5 miles. 5 miles probably at most. This is what the reach of buddies hunting camp. But mainly for our camp and my cousin's camps, we've got about a square mile up there of land. And it'd just be kind of nice, you know, my family's already got the GMRS license, and then get my cousins to buy one. So I wouldn't mind bankrolling a couple of those cheap radios and keep them all up there on, like, a game charger and kind of make them handout radios and just program, hey, here's the cabin repeater channel on here, and then here's a radio-to-radio simplex GMRS frequency in here, and kind of getting everyone squared away with some radios. So I might have to look into that for next spring.
WADAP, well, I don't think that deal's going to be around. I would jump on that right now. You know, $10 a radio. And these, like I said, these are robust radios. And like I said, it's a clone of the TYT UV88, and it's a clone of the Explorer 1. That was the radio that QRZ was giving away free. So you know if QRZ is giving them away to new hams, you know that they are, you know, they passed the FCC specs. They're actually surprisingly good radios. So I wouldn't wait. If you they're not going to be that price, for long. Matter of fact, I bought about 8 pairs of them. I've been giving them away to people just for that reason. I'm sure the people down south wish they had them.
Yeah, no kidding. They probably do want some. And if that's the case, I might buy some when I get to my cabin at night. I'll have to get on Amazon and order a couple, ship them to the house and fire them up. Maybe I'll even test them out this fall in the beer woods. It'd be kind of fun. But yeah, no, I heard there's some amateur radio stuff going on out there. Pretty interesting. Tell you what, though, if I was down in that situation, an amateur radio would be, I'd want my family on amateur radio or GMRS to communicate with each other. But if it was a true life or death emergency and, you know, a family member needed insulin or something like that, I'd be kicking myself if I didn't have an airband VHF AM radio. I'd probably be calling out on the guard frequency to try to get a helicopter or something like that attention if I needed insulin or to get someone on oxygen or something like that in a true life or death emergency, not just a, hey, can we get some free soup or something. But, yeah, it's kind of an eye-opener, and it's really unfortunate, but it's a good thing to stop and say, hey, what are they actually doing down there, and what would work even better?
Yeah. I was going to mention, too, they had two different DMR radios. One was $13, and the other one was, like, $30. The $30 ones, it's like they had a full display on them, 5 watts. They disappeared, like, 2 seconds. But they have this other one that was a 2-watt, kind of a miniature 2-watt, job. It's DMR and UHF, and they're surprisingly good, and they're like $13 each, and the audio on those are just fantastic. And a buddy of mine is an electronics engineer, and he took it apart, and he goes, I can't believe how well this thing is designed. You know, I mean, it didn't originally sell for $13. I don't know what it sold for. They just discontinued and blew them out for $13, and man, those nice little radios. They have some weird name that no one remembers, but it's blue, so we call it the blue radio. So I say, hey, crack out the blue radio. Everybody knows, you know. And I'm, like I said, I'm 10 miles from the repeater. I can make it into the repeater, no problem, on the blue radio.
Yeah, it's good to have a cache of those radios for sure. And I'd like it. I don't think, you know, the one thing that I don't like about those radios as much is I wish that they made more, like, clamshell-type batteries where you could stuff the double A's or triple A's in there. I know that some of the commercial radios can make clamshell packs, like the Wildland Firefighters, because it's a lot easier to resupply them with double A's. And, you know, if I gave out, like, radios to family members or friends, and for that type of reason, it'd be nice, like, giving that charged up battery, but if they could just pop some double A's in there instead of worrying about that. Because I've had my Chinese charger fail back when I had a Baofeng when I got first into it. And just, you know, nice to pop some double A's in those things. That'd be kind of cool. And even if they came from the factory like that, that'd be nice and cheap. That'd be fun. Cheap radios with cheap batteries would work good.
Yeah, well, I have a few of the TYTU V88s, and I bought spare batteries for those. But I believe the spare batteries are more than $10, so even if I took these radios that I got for $10 a piece, threw the radio out, the battery's worth more than $10. But luckily, they're all universal, like I said. I got two different, actually, I got a third style. It was a strange Baofeng. It didn't look like a Baofeng. It looks like it was a clone of that UV88 also. I think it was TUP8 Plus or something. I forget the name of it. But anyhow, it appears to have the same firmware, same case, same batteries as the other ones. I got three different radios, three different cheap radios that have the same batteries. But another thing, too, you got to consider, a lot of the new Chinese radios now have USB-C charging ports. You just plug it in your cigarette lighter, you know, or, you know, you can charge it anywhere or talk on it while it's charging. So you got to consider that, too, that the Baofengs didn't have USB-C charging ports on them like the new ones do.
You know what? You're right. I completely forgot all about USB-C charging. That's kind of the way to go, then. I mean, you can even use those. I've got multiple power bricks, so I keep charged up for my phone. And you could just have your radio anywhere and have it, you know, be able to recharge that thing probably 5 or 6 times off of one phone break. And I think that Apple, I don't know, I've got an Android. I think that Apple's making all their phones go to USB-C as well. So, I mean, everyone in the future, Android and Apple users alike, are going to have USB-C. And I think that a lot of the new laptops also charge off of USB-C too, so kind of seems like that's the new standard.
Yeah, it's one thing you got to worry about on the USB-C is there's so many different types of standards. Most of the USB-C cords have what they call an e-marker chip in it that determines, you know, how much voltage and current to transfer. Because you got to remember, USB is 5 volts. USB-C could be up to 19 volts. And there's, like I said, there's an e-marker chip in there, so that's why those wall warts, you know, the chargers say PD output. Like the cords have a USB-C on both ends. One end goes into the phone, obviously. The other end goes into the wall wart, but it doesn't have to be 5 volts. It could be, you know, up to 19 volts. But basically, like a regular USB, like the older micro USB, I think they had 5 volts as a standard. I think it went up to 9 volts if your phone supported it. But like I said, with all the different protocols now, you got to have the right cord for the right charger, you know, to go to your device. Like some laptops use those PDs, but they're 19 volts instead of 5 volts.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. I only knew that some of them, I thought they were all pretty much 5 volts, but then I saw that some of them were 3 watt or whatever, and then some are like 65 watt chargers for laptops, but I'll have to pay attention to that. The only thing I've ever really done with a charger is me and my buddy, we bought a charger for some of our Motorola P25 radios that you could plug into a 12 volt cigarette lighter in your truck. And then we cut the cigarette lighter part off, and we wired it up, what are they called, PowerPole? Yeah, PowerPole connections. We could plug them into this lithium iron phosphate battery that we use for the HF rigs. And we had to do a little bit of testing to make sure that it was still getting knocked back down to 5 volts instead of just coming in at the 13 or 14 that both life, those lithium iron phosphate batteries are. So. Yeah, I'm on M76 right now, north of Sterling. I'm seeing all kinds of pickup trucks backed into the woods with all the bow hunters slowly starting to emerge. So I'm looking forward to getting out there in the morning.
W-A-T-A-P. Yeah, I was just going to ask you. We had to be bow hunting. But, yeah, a lot of, I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of deer by the roads lately. Those, sometimes I go, like, months and never see a deer, which is really odd. But usually down M-55 between West Branch and Houghton Lake, there's always a ton of deer. But I was up last weekend. I saw, like, a tremendous amount of deer, just tons of them. Like, 8 of them every mile or something. It was crazy. But, yeah, I don't do much hunting. But there is a POTA. There is a POTA site, like, a mile, by the way, the crow flies from my cottage. I can't drive to it. I got to go about 3 miles through the trails to get to it. But, yeah, there is a POTA site. I'm going to activate it probably next year when I get some HF gear. Drive my Jeep out there and activate that little POTA site. It's basically just a swamp, a little dirt trail next to it.
Okay. Yeah, no, that'd be a lot of fun. I haven't had the time recently to do much HF, but I did love doing parts on the air, especially the activating. It was lots of fun. I've done it everywhere from just the back of the pickup truck with my buddy using a ham stick all the way to hike out into the woods pretty good ways and swing up some wire antennas way up in the tree with a backpack and a radio and a battery. I've had a lot of fun that way. And then sometimes in the state game areas, they've got these observation towers, so we go up to the observation tower, and we put a 25 or 30-foot mast on top of that and sling the wire out from there, too, and get that wire way up in the air, like a good 50, 60 foot up. And we make some pretty good DX doing photo. We've talked to Italy and Spain and Venezuela. So it's been a lot of fun. I usually end up taking my HF rig up to deer camp, too, and I set up an HF rig, and I try to do some Envis, 40 and 80 beers, talk to some other deer camps during deer season, too, at night. Kind of fun, a good way to pass the time.
Peace and Mike and the Who Cares Radio, amateur radio group, the Who Cares group, they are total monsters. I mean, they're out there every day activating parks, no matter where they go on trips, business trips, they'll pull over and activate a park. There's some parks that are like three parks in one. It's like three POTA sites within one park. And they're really into the POTA. I usually a Yaesu 710 field radio, either a ham stick or they use I don't know what they call it, but it's like a kind of, I forgot the name of it, but it goes into the ground and spread out the radials or whatever. But, yeah, they're out there every single day, like trying to outdo each other.
KE8-PBB. Hopefully I'm still making it in pretty good. I'm receiving you about 100 dBm. I'm not sure what I'm making it into the system at, though. It can get pretty addicting, especially once you start getting some of those pile-ups and then you start uploading the logs. It's kind of satisfying. Sometimes, though, when you're not in the mood for dealing with the pile-ups and people shouting at you or people trying to, you know, tune up on top of you, sometimes me and my buddy would go out and we just activate a park by hunting. So we get out there and we use the Hammers app, which is extremely convenient when we have internet because it'll preload the frequency, the watts, the grid square. When you type in their call sign, it tells you their name and where they're from, so you can confirm that you typed it in right. So usually I confirm by getting their call sign back and then their first name, and that was extremely awesome. But we'd go out there, and we'd just sit in the park, and we wouldn't claim a frequency. We'd just go hunting people, and we'd click on the name of the park. It would load all the details. If we got a 5-9 back from them, then we'd log them, and we could get 10 contacts pretty quickly doing that. And so you can either go out there and activate one by, you know, claiming a frequency, if you will, and calling out, or sometimes you can just go hunt around. Depending on the mood, Porter, what you do it all. I lost you. Keep it locked away. Pop up. Bravo. Bravo. Monitoring. Stupid one.
Oh, no, I'm still out here. I had someone walk in the room and ask me about dinner, so sorry about that. So I turned the radio down for a second. I'm still here.
Oh, no worries. I'm all the way up here in West Branch, so I, like I said, this is kind of where the fringe of the reliability is for this encounter repeater, which is still pretty excellent. So I'm about 25 minutes from the cabin here. It's starting to get pretty dark, but looking forward to pulling in and cracking open a gold beer.
Roger on that. Yep. Well, I've been going up St. Helen area for close to 50 years. Some will be going off-roading, and it just amazes me. Every time I go through the woods down all the trails, Trail 6, Trail 9, Trail 69, how many, off the beaten path trails, two tracks there are going everywhere. Like I said, I've been going up there over 40, almost 50 years, and I've only explored maybe 10% of all these cool side trails. Some of them are only wide enough for a motorcycle or a quad runner. Luckily, I have a 50-inch wide Polaris, so I can fit down a lot of the narrow trails, but some of them are just too narrow even for me. A lot of the popular ones now are the gigantic ones, and it's just the popularity of those side-by-sides has just exploded in the past 5 years, and they're big machines. They're way bigger. I mean, the wheelbase on them are bigger than most, full-sized trucks.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. I'm a Polaris fan myself. We've got a Polaris that we use up here at Deer Camp, and some other machines, too, but I prefer using four-wheelers. I'm only, 27, so I think it's a lot more fun to kind of gear on them, and I find them to be pretty useful for anything from deer hunting, property management, leisure, and even ice fishing. I like to get out ice fishing on the bay. Side-by-sides are a lot of fun, and I use them quite a bit up on the property for some work, but some of these side-by-sides are 30, 40, 50 grand. Polaris has that one North Star, a quad cab with heat and air, GPS, power windows and everything, and I can't believe that you can spend more money on a side-by-side than, getting a new Jeep, a new base level Jeep. But there's still a lot of fun driving around side-by-sides. My in-laws have a Can-Am. It's a lot of fun to go tearing around the trails with that. They're in the Gladwin area. And then, I've been picking the four-wheelers for a while, especially because of the price of new side-by-sides is through the roof. And the four-wheelers aren't cheap, but they're a little bit more obtainable.
I think mine was about 13,000, but they don't even make them that small. Well, they do. Their entry level ones are small, 50 inch. I think it's called a trail or whatever, but it's a 900 though. It's not an 800. So their entry level one is about 18 grand. And just for giggles, I rented a four seater with the turbo. Their top of the line one from a couple years ago, and that one was over 40,000. But it scoots pretty good though. Matter of fact, in St. Helen, about at least twice a year, I rent one of the Polaris slingshots, and those are just a ball. I don't know if you've ever ridden one, but the roads up there are perfect for that. You can just get on 76, go through Roscommon, and take the back roads all the way to Traverse City, and one stoplight. It's just the roads are nice and smooth, and those slingshots are so fun to drive. I don't know if you ever seen one or ridden one, but you can rent one in St. Helen if you ever want to. Let me know, and I can get you a discount, because I know the lady she lives down the street from me that runs the place.
Yeah, I might take you up on that. What kind of for a 12-hour rental or a full day? What's the ballpark price on that? Is it like 150, 350? What's the general number on doing even just a two-person side-by-side up there?
Well, if you're going to rent one, the two-person and the four-person are the same price. So you'd want the four-person one that's going to ride a lot better, longer wheelbase. The trails are pretty rough. To me personally, I don't think they groom the trails enough in St. Helens. I mean, maybe back in the day when they had, dirt bikes and just plain quad runners, and now they got those, 200 horsepower, 2,000 pound gigantic behemoth machines ripping through there, it messes up the trails. But no, you won't. Yeah, no, you won't. They're way more than that price. You can get a 4-hour or an 8-hour, maybe in the $600 range. But it's weird though. Sometimes you go an 8-hour or you go a whole day, and it's not that much more for a whole day than it is for an 8-hour. Your best bet, I mean, dollar-wise, it's cheaper. The more hours you run it, the cheaper it gets. I mean, per hour. But no, you're not gonna touch anything for $200. You can't even. I think bicycles are like $20 an hour. I mean, if you go up to Mackinac, I mean, jet skis are probably $200 an hour, $250. So, yeah, it's gonna be in the six range. So, like I said, but I can maybe knock a little bit off that.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize it'd be that much because I was just I knew a little bit of rental, but mostly just equipment rental, and I was just about to rent a mini backhoe for $380 for 12 hours, and then a skid steer for about $350 for 12 hours. So, yeah, I didn't realize that side-by-side, you know, which costs significantly less. You know, side-by-side, like I said, you can get anywhere from, we'll say the maximum price is $50,000. The mini backhoe is like closer to $75,000 to $100,000. So I guess they're really getting you on those, but it's still a lot of fun. And even if I do $600, I go twice a year, or I spent $1,200 on side-by-side, and it's still a lot cheaper than buying a new one. So we'll see.
Well, believe it or not, the slingshots run about, they go anywhere from about 25 to 40. And they have a top-of-the-line one there. And it's about, it's almost half the price to rent. Well, not quite half the price, but it's significantly cheaper to rent the slingshot, even though they cost the same. It's just the wear and tear on them and the insurance and all that. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved, you know. Because those people just beat the living heck out of those things. And they figure, okay, you know, if you're on the road, you know, I mean, the maintenance on the slingshot is way, way less. So, yeah. And like you said, if you run it twice a year, it's still cheaper than buying one. You buy one, you know, for $40,000, and then you got to, you know, make all the payments on it, the insurance on it, depreciation on it. If you just run it a couple times a year, you'll end up, it'd be a lot cheaper in the long run. If you run it, just rent one a couple times a year instead of owning one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I get that, you know, I'd probably beat on it too if I'm renting a thing. And I'd beat on it more than I'd beat on a rental car or a truck or something like that most likely. So I get that, you know, breaking stuff on these trails, little control arms and whatnot. And yeah, I'm sure the insurance on those things are through the roof because it seems like everyone I know that buys one, at some point they roll it, whether it's a light roll or they really rolled it. You know, if they get a sport one, you know, the younger crowd more so, a little bit more reckless and whatnot, but which a renter would probably be, you know. So I get that. I get why it's expensive. I hope they come down in price. We'll see. I don't foresee it. They cost a lot to make. They're very well engineered. Inflation's up there. Their interest rates are dropping a half or a 0.25%, so I don't think they're going to come down in price anytime soon. But that's why I'll probably stick to four-wheelers for a while. I don't mind the four-wheelers at all. I like doing that. And they can keep up with the side-by-side if you get a 1,000cc four-wheeler. But I'm up on the back roads here now up by the cabin, so I'm probably going to hang the radio up. It was great talking with you. Hopefully I can catch you on the air again sometime in the future. I pretty much always monitor Statewide 1 and 2 when I'm driving the pickup truck. So this is Kilo Waka 8, Papa, Bravo, Bravo. I'll be clear on your final, 73.
Roger, yeah, it's nice talking to you. And like I said, you know, I know Tom, and I'm going to make up to one of the meetings or club meetings or slot meets or whatever up there. I missed a good one. They had one in St. Helens, just north of the just north of me where the deer reserve is, the deer park up there. I missed that one. Anyhow, nice talking to you, and good luck hunting, and we'll catch you later. This is WAEAP.
AEAFCA on Statewide 1. Good evening, everybody. I am new to the DMR network, located in Dearborn Heights. Hope everyone is having a beautiful evening.
K8FCA, this is N8TJ in Clarkston. You copy?
I do. You said N8. What was the rest of it?
November 8th, Tango Juliet, N8TJ, Clarkston, Michigan. Name is Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Tom. This is K8FCA, Sterling, out of Dearborn Heights. New to the DMR system. I'm Han, and just joined GMRS not too long ago, but I'm enjoying GMR a little bit more.
Okay, very good, Sterling. You have a good copy on you here. I'm connecting through Novi, the Novi machine. So it's quite a distance. I'm running 40 watts. I'm running off a battery into a... here, and the battery does not hold the charge well, so I hope I'm making it okay. Let me know if I'm not. Where are you connecting into MI5 NATJ back to you?
Yeah, definitely got you clear over here. You're coming in great. I am connecting into Detroit. I tried connecting into the MI5 South Gate. For some reason, I can't get into that. I think it's just some fine-tune adjustments. 625, I believe it is, on Detroit's pretty high, so I have no problem getting in there.
Okay, very good. Well, I hear you just fine. I've been trying to get on the MI5 network more. I'm on DMR, or for Digital Voice, I'm on the TGIF network. There's a bunch of guys on the, there's a channel 31268 on TGIF. If you have a hotspot, it's got a lot of activity on it. But I've been trying to, I told myself I wanted to get on RF connection, the MI5. It's such a great network. I thought maybe I'm sitting here tuning around the low bands. There's nothing. The bands are getting dead as it got dark tonight. And so I just heard you come on 5-1, so I thought I'd reply. Anyway, you sound pretty good. NATJ, back to you.
I appreciate you talking to me. I do not have a hot spot. I've been researching them. Like I said, I'm new to DMR. I want to get one. Do you have any recommendations? I've been researching. There's so many different ones out there. I've been trying to read the reviews. I'm unsure at this point. K8FCA, back to you.
Okay, good copy, Sterling. Well, I'll tell you what. I have a, it's called Shark RF. Shark like the fish, RF like the signal. Shark RF, open spot 4. And it's great because it has a little battery in it, and you can take it portable. I connect it to my iPhone, and I can go portable and connect into the internet connections that way, and that actually is quite useful. Part of the reason why I want to be able to connect without a hotspot. But that the reason I would say look into that one, it's not the cheapest option, but it's very easy setup. It has a very intuitive sort of menu guide that helps you set it up. Hotspots, PiStar, you know, your generic hotspots that you buy on Amazon are a little... not familiar with it. You need to get somebody to help you, which I'm sure you can find, but the open spot really is easy to get on the air with. It was $200 and some. You can, I think the other ones, when I bought mine a couple of years ago, I bought two of them on Amazon for $88 a piece or something. Now they're a lot more than that. They're $123 or something like that. So I can't make a recommendation on it. It does give you some, it just gives you some more options to explore around Digital Voice. And with the open spot, you can also... P4FM through my hotspot on the Brandmaster 31261. Anyway, back to you, Sterling and ATJ.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. I got it written down, open spot, SRF. And that's exactly what I'm looking for, something that's portable, that I can hook into battery-powered and
you know, hook up to my iPhone hotspot and, you know, get out. Not home much, so I really like to, you know, get out. And then around here, unfortunately, there's not a lot of connectivity into the Brandmeister, at least not in my area. So really, it's just MI5 is the one I'm able to get on. So like I said, I've been exploring hotspots, so I definitely appreciate the recommendation. I'm going to look into that here in just a little bit, and chances are I'll probably get one ordered tonight. KEA, back to you.
All right, sir. MI5 through Novi, believe it or not, and that's 30 miles away. I'm running an antenna on my roof and 40 watts, so I wish there was even an MI5 machine close enough for a handheld, but there isn't. And I'm on the northern part of Clarkston here, and I'm on a lake, so I'm a little bit down in a hole a little bit. I've got the Pine Knob Hill just south of me, and that blocks me from Detroit. So that's 300 feet above everything else, so it's like there. But there's no DMR repeaters around me, and that's why I started messing around with C4FM and stuff. And then I learned about cross-modeling so I could get into the TGIF and into DMR. So make a note, write down TGIF. So that network's great. It's better than Brandmeister. It's more reliable. It sounds better. When you get your hotspot, just look into how you connect into that. And then 31268, you will find activity. And we have a net on Monday nights there. So make a note to work towards that. And give me a shout. I'll be around. I'll be monitoring statewide 1 and 2 here when I'm around the shack. Anyway, I'll let you go, Sterling. It was nice bumping into you. Good luck. Keep at it. You're sounding good tonight. Let me remember your call here, K8FCA, NATJ, 73.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yep, you're coming. That last one there, you were coming a little bit choppy, but I think you're hitting it pretty good. I'll look into that, and I wrote down TGIF, so I'll definitely look into that, and I'll catch you around, and I got you written down, Tom, out of Clarkston, 73U, KFCA.
This is KC0MYV, watching the Michigan State game, and just monitoring Brandmeister Call Group 31261. MI5, channel 1.
KC0NYP from NATMP.
NATMP. Hey, James. Sorry, eating nachos. Well, I'm watching the Michigan State play and listening to WMMQ, the audio feed with George Blaha. So I like to listen to the, I'm an audio guy, you know, we're in the radio. Anyway, KT0MYP on Brandmeister Talk Group 31261.
This is NATJ, you guys copy?
Yeah, Tom, got you. NATJ, NATMP. Yeah, Dane, I'm going through the Mount Clements repeater right now. I'm not using Brandmeister. Tom, go ahead, NATMP.
Thanks, Jay. Good talking to you, Dana. I'm into the Novi machine on, it's like 30 miles away. I'm running 40 watts with an external antenna, so I'm doing it. That's pretty cool. Better get back to the game, Dana, NATJ.
Tom, come with you loud and clear. I'm on a hot spot. And as I said, my master server on Brandmeister is 3104 out of Chicago. Otherwise, people can hear you, but they can't see, or you can't communicate with them. So. But if you're on 3104, it will work. KC0MYV. Back to Tom, NATJ and also NATMP.
All right, I'm on. I tested it earlier and it wouldn't work. So you have an idea. I'm doing what you just said. My hotspot. 31661, Brandmeister 04. All right, NATJ. I got the game on here too, so I'm going to watch that tomorrow. Thanks, Jay. NATMP, KC0MYV73, NATJ.
All right, good night, gentlemen. NATMP 73 to both of you guys.
KC0MYP 73 from the west side of Mason. Back to the game of the nachos.